Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features Human guests, Dan Lippert, Brian Rosenberg, and John Mackey, from the group Big Grande.
Welcome to Improv for Humans. With me, Matty B, Matt Besser. It's the middle of summer. So hot everywhere, right? Welcome, Big Grande. Three quarters at least. Thanks for coming to the show. Ryan, John, Dan, Drew couldn't make it. Welcome, guys, first off.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us. Always a pleasure.
Can my welcome, I'm going to do it kind of loud because I didn't test my peaks on my audio, so I just need to make sure. Thank you for having me.
All right, but I don't know. I'm really welcoming those guys a little bit more, and it's weird for you to be the one that's yelling the loudest in response because it seems like I'm welcoming you the most.
Well, they can be louder if they want to.
I'm also here.
Yeah, you guys were fine and real and grounded. It was Dan, like, and sorry, Brett, I'm sure that peaked to the red for you. I'll cause an hour of your day working that peak.
Sorry, I was just
trying. Oh, no. Jeez, Brett, sorry. These spikes.
We're just going to make this one really hard for Brett to edit.
All right, that whispering makes me think of a funny story that I just want to start with. So, I wish Brett was here to play these two songs, but Danielle had an appointment in Beverly Hills the other day, which is a long drive for us, and she, so it's worth mentioning in our lives. It's like going an hour away. She's like, so I'm going to Beverly Hills, and then she starts singing...
Beverly Hills.
Go ahead.
It's where I wanna be.
Gimme.
Okay, right. So she starts singing the Weezer song, right? I am 8 years older than her. I have a different Beverly Hills song. My song is the Circle Jerks song. Beverly Hills, Century City. Everyone looks so nice and pretty. And she's like, I don't know that song. You know, of course. And being the bothersome music nerd, I'm like, well, let me play it for you. And she doesn't want to hear it, but I'm going to play it anyway. So I'm trying to find it on my phone. And meanwhile, she has to go to the bathroom. So I don't... I don't realize she's going to the bathroom. I just think she's going to another room. Meanwhile, I find it on my phone, the Circle Jerk song, and I start playing it. And, you know, it's a typical punk song. Beverly Hills, Century City. And I'm playing it on the house speaker system. And I'm trying to find her to go, here's the song I was talking about. That she doesn't care. She doesn't care, but I have to prove that there's another Beverly Hills song. So I'm like, where is she? And I look in her office. I look in our bedroom. She's not in there. And I'm singing along to the song. And then I see she's in the bathroom. And just as I stick my head into the bathroom on the chorus, and I'm kind of like whisper singing it, which is what made me think of this. And I go, Beverly Hills! Just as I'm doing that, she's wiping her ass as she comes off the toilet. And she, it's like I'm scaring her with this song. And she goes, woo! And she just jumps off like a cartoon, doing like jazz hands to either side of her head, going straight up in the air. And she's like, why'd you scare me? Whispering that song at me. I'm like, I whispered it at you. It was a scary whisper at me. It was a loud, aggressive whisper.
Is she jumpy? generally. Like, I know some people, I just saw this TikTok of a guy following his girlfriend around. It seemed miserable, but it did make me laugh. And he would just stand around corners and have his camera on. Every time she rounded a corner and saw him, she'd be like, ah! Or if she opened a door and wasn't expecting, the reaction did not meet how unscary it was. Like, it would be kind of scary, but she would be like freaked out every time. I feel like some people are jumpier.
She's empathetic for my daughter. Like, my daughter's up on a wall that's like six inches tall, you know, it's just nothing. And then she jumps from the 6-inch wall. My wife's like, ah, like Danielle, she jumped off the wall.
Here, let's
six
see.
Inches.
Oh, it's too early in the song.
Well, what's this? Here it comes. So would you guys, I think you guys, it's not just my wife, to be fair to Danielle. If I just came around a corner into the bathroom, you're wiping your ass, and I go, Beverly Hills, Century City.
Yeah, there's something about having your hand in your ass that makes it a little vulnerable. Like, ah, jeez.
We cut to an office cubicle. Hey, Ryan, I want to apologize for what happened in the bathroom earlier.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sorry for my reaction. But thank you for apologizing.
I deserve to be hit, but I just want you to know I wasn't trying to scare you. I didn't know you had your hand up in your ass.
Yeah,
thought you were just pissing or something, mellow like that, or washing your hands. I didn't realize you were that in that position.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't wash my hands in the toilet, Matt. So you should know that I was doing something behind a closed door, and I'm sorry for hitting you. It was just sort of a natural reaction. I thought I was being creeped or something, you know. So I'm.
You didn't hit me with your wiping hand.
Oh, no, I went left, of course. I did have the presence of mind to go, this is unsullied, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the apology.
I was just excited. It's Friday, and I was just whisper singing. I didn't think I was going to scare anybody.
Right. Well, you know, you did, and I'm over it. I hope that next time you're excited, you can go outside, have a smoke break, or you can whisper as loud as you want outside. But I think the bathroom is kind of a scary place to do it, if I'm being honest.
Hey, I'm apologizing for barging in on you with your hand up your ass, but I'll whisper sing in the bathroom. I can sing outside. The reason I'm whisper singing is it's a loud song with intensity, but I'm not going to scream in the bathroom. So I'm whisper singing out of politeness.
Right, but if you have to whisper sing, is it appropriate for the workplace? Just go outside and scream. Just get it out. It seems like you got a lot of energy.
Whisper singing is what makes it appropriate for the workplace.
Okay, well, I had my hand in my
ass. I was trying to go into
that.
A stall to whisper sing by myself.
My hand was in my ass. I can't apologize for anything that happens in that zone, okay? It is the most private place you can be, and if someone surprises you while your hand is in your ass, you're lucky you didn't get shit in your face.
I do consider myself, and that's why I'm apologizing, but
God, I'm
just
clearly
the odds of you being at that very moment, being at that, what do they call it, the apex, the
it was the apex,
being that deep right into your, I mean, well, the odds, that's like lightning striking.
All right, everybody, We're kind of trying to figure out some issues in the office and solve some issues in a way that everybody is pleased. I don't want to get into specifics just because there's some privacy at hand about what happened and what's been happening. But we've decided to create a excitement zone in the office. And this is an area where, let's say, you know, you got the Rebecca Black song Friday in your head, and it's on a Friday, and you just got to get down on a Friday.
Sounds familiar.
I don't want to use an exact specific. I think I accidentally did from something that happened recently. Why don't we?
I also, just while you're on that, can people not sing that on other days of the week?
I don't have a rule on when we can sing that. I'm sorry if that was.
I'm asking for it to be a rule.
Oh, you said you're saying we shouldn't be able to sing "Got to Get Down" on Friday, Monday, on Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, it's a big bummer. I think we can all say that nobody wants to hear that song if it's not Friday.
Okay, guys, I don't think that's fair. Okay, I see. We're talking about and let's just get let's get it out in the open. It's me. Okay, it's me. I like to sing. Got to get
that down. That Bangles song Mondays on Tuesday.
Yeah, because Monday's a state of mind, and the same thing goes for Friday. Sometimes on a Wednesday, I'm ready for the weekend, so I'm thinking Friday. Sometimes it's feeling like a Monday on a Tuesday, okay? I'm not excited to be in work, so I'm singing about Monday. You know,
why do you have a hump day song? Hump day is not even cool.
Why do I have a hump day song? Because there is a hump day. Did you call this meeting specifically for people to come after me? Because it feels like we've only talked about Rebecca Black and Friday.
Yeah, what incident are we talking about?
We're talking about the excitement zone. Now, Raj, it just so happens that every meeting we have somehow ends up with everyone coming after you. And I think that's something for you to look at about how you behave in the office. You know what I mean?
Me?
Is there going to be like a ball pit and a slide or like tennis rackets in this zone? What's going to be there?
You can't bring your stuff. You can if you want to bring stuff into the fun zone, but we're not making it a zone. You know, we're not designing it like a McDonald's ball pit or anything like that.
Is there like a table that has Miss Pac-Man on it?
I don't want to define what's fun to each person, because that's what the issue is we're confusing where fun can be had per person. Yes, we have a question.
Do you have a location for this fun zone already? Because I have a few places I would like it not to be.
I guess you can list your places. I had one in mind, but if you have
it can't be in the bathroom and it can't be near the lunch tables.
Absolutely. Well, lunch tables is debatable, but bathroom, yeah.
I keep getting spooked. I got spooked the other day in the bathroom, punched a guy in the face. I got spooked the other day when I was eating my gazpacho, punched a guy in the face, and it looked like he was bloody afterwards. I didn't even hit him that hard.
Okay, I've never seen anyone warm up their gazpacho. So I was a little close to it because I'd never seen such
I'm sorry, but I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I thought I wanted gazpacho, but I wanted soup.
Well, and what happened there, if I remember correctly, is Matt, you sang to the tune of "Hey Joe, Hot Gazpacho," kind of whispering behind Ryan. Is that
right
what that
behind
was?
Me? Right as I was pulling it out of the microwave, I turned around, hit him in the face.
Hey, gazpacho.
Yeah.
Where are you going with that apple in your hand?
See, we all were kind of expecting it in this moment, so it was okay. But I could imagine being whispered behind me to be a little upsetting if I wasn't in
but
the
But it was
fun
whispered,
zone.
Not yelled. That's what I don't get with you guys.
I have a question.
Whispering can be more upsetting than yelling.
I have a serious question about the excitement zone. Is there going to be a calendar system where you have to reserve the space? Is it going to be opened at all times, or am I going to have to only have access on certain days at certain times?
Is there capacity?
That's a good question too.
Where we put the excitement zone right now, it's not a huge office, so we're thinking of putting the excitement zone kind of in the conference room when that's not being used, or when it is being used, we cut the conference room in half, and you can be excited in the excitement zone, but just quiet.
Okay,
so I can be in the excitement zone, whisper singing loudly, while there's a meeting going on in the other half of the conference room?
No, that's more upsetting. Whisper singing while a meeting is going on is like, it's like when you walk into a movie late and you make a huge show of ducking in front of the screen as you walk past, and now we notice even more because you're doing like a cartoonish tippy toe, which
you're saying,
I know you do.
You're saying excuse me out loud a lot of times. Can I make a suggestion? And this might be for some people hard to hear, but what if we just did away with whisper singing? Mm-hmm. I think if you want to sing, mm-hmm. I prefer that.
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
That's crazy.
The whisper makes it, I don't know, sinister. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's maybe a harsh suggestion. It's not crazy. I've never encountered so much whisper singing in an office before.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even know I cared about this, but we're dealing with this every day. The quarterly reports haven't even been printed.
And I will always love you.
God. Oh, God.
Thanks.
It's chilling.
Some people, like, you never heard Whitney, like, ever whisper it. She always kind of full belted it, which I thought was a little much.
It's kind of what she's famous for, right?
It was a little much.
Yeah, we see your Yin Yang Twins shirt that you wear every day. The only whisper song that's ever been written, and you're a little too obsessed with it.
Don't challenge me on other whisper songs.
Well, all right, we're getting out of.
All I can think of is whistle songs. All of a sudden,
look,
there was a whole rap group named Whistle. By the way,
what era?
What era do you think?
This is causing a lot of stress in the office, and I just don't know if I can work.
We are Whistle, and this is true. We like to do the things we're not supposed to do.
Okay, well, mid to late 80s. Yeah, mid to late 80s.
And the sample is...
Dang, good whistle.
Yeah. It was good. Honestly,
can I do that in the excitement zone instead of whispering? I feel like if I was in a meeting, I'd go like, what's going on over there?
Well, thank you for coming in to meet me in this conference room today. So, yeah, we are looking to kind of expand our our zone for kind of the real estate areas that we sell to and represent to. And so,
we are Whistle, and this is true. We like to do the things we're not supposed to do.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little distracted. Do we need to find another space, or
is it the hot gazpacho I'm eating, or?
Yeah, well, the smell of the gazpacho.
Hey, guys.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
It's Tuesday. They're
looking forward to the weekend.
Let's talk some more about that.
Would that be your favorite room, Besser, to sit in with those three people in there just singing different songs all at the same time?
Yeah, anytime people are going for it, I'd be for that room.
I have to, I feel like self-conscious that my first question was, is she a jumpy person? Because I think I didn't acknowledge that it is crazy to have somebody bark first in the room while you're wiping, and that would make me jump
off somebody else. to me, it was the cart. She also, I love her. But she also, it's not even a but, because she also, like, she'll eat hot stuff and she'll fan her tongue like there's a little fire on the end of it. So she does those kind of cartoony. Where I go, you are a cartoon. No one jumps off the toilet like that. Nobody fans the fire on the end of their tongue when they eat something spicy.
I think I do that sometimes to, like, avoid the real feeling. Like, I'll always joke about, I'll really be scared, but then I'll do it silly to be like, I was just kidding, you know?
The being frightened and yelping?
Either being scared or having spicy, like, it's too much for me to actually be vulnerable or whatever, so I'll make it a little joke, you know? I'll be like, I don't know, make a voice or... yeah, just kind of be silly about it, because then it's like, I'm always kidding. Don't worry about me or something like that.
Yeah, you're hiding the fact that you're in intense pain or intense fear or like super embarrassed. Yeah,
right.
I think
we cut to the next night when that couple is out with another couple. And last night I came around the corner right when he came out of the shower and he squealed like a cat getting thrown in a pool. Oh, I've never heard such a high-pitched fear filled with even babies. I've never heard cry like this.
Right.
I mean, honey, right?
I was kind of kidding. You know, I was scared, but then I put a little extra on it because, you know, it's more fun that way. It's fun to make a little character.
That's not true. He would have to react in the speed of sound to have reacted. He turned the corner and it was immediate. It was just high pitch. At first, I thought the fire alarm had gone off. And I looked up and I'm like, oh my God, that squeal, that high pitch squeal of fear is coming from him.
Wow. Well, it must, I'm sorry to be forward, but it must be very hard to find him attractive if he's so kind of
emasculated. I was joking
all the time.
I was joking, and that's funny, which is attractive. That's an attractive trait, to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so interesting that we're talking about this because I don't know. I may have told you guys this story before, but my husband a couple weeks ago, our back deck caught on fire. And he
oh my God.
He was so heroic. He had been cooking. Cooking, and the charcoal, I guess, had sparked, and the whole deck caught on fire. And he
he started it and put it out. That is so heroic.
Double braze,
nothing. Yeah, and it was incredible. You should have seen him. Also, he was just standing there with the hose, chest out, so excited, so happy to be.
Well, Ryan could have made a fire alarm sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he would have just squealed and squealed until someone came and saved the day. I guess.
Right, but then we would have turned that pain into a laugh pretty quickly. We would have been enjoying it rather than scared of it.
Ooh, you know? Here comes the calamari.
I'm kidding. It's just fish. It's just
Ryan,
fish.
Ryan, it's okay to be. One of you asked me earlier, I don't hold it against him. I like Ryan because, I don't know, I think he's a great jazz musician. He's great at reading maps, even topography, like maps that you can feel.
Mm-hmm. And,
and surely there's some personal stuff in there. Surely there's some personal reasons you love
him.
Yes.
Ryan. He's good at
limericks. Yeah.
Ryan, I don't mean to harp on it, but what exactly was the joke there? The calamari sits down, you see it, because I want to understand. I do. I'm a funny person. My husband knows. I'm hilarious. I make jokes all the time. Excuse me?
Whoa.
You just haven't been funny at dinner yet. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's not
been very funny. I yelped at the valet guy. I was scared of the calamari.
You thought the door was going to hit you when he closed it.
Well, it almost did. So I made a little joke out of it, and it lightened the mood.
He was the one that made a joke. He said, it's not a real jaguar.
God. Well, sorry that we met the funniest valet in Los Angeles, and it overshadowed how I was being folksy. Maybe it's not funny, but it's folksy. It makes people
at ease. You don't have to be funny. You're good at jazz.
I'm just so tired of only being respected in those circles, you know? It's
you know a lot about amusement parks.
I'd like to be respected street side, not just in a basement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that a lot of people respect your work. And, you know, it's jazz is a more, I guess, sensitive art form. You know, you need to be in touch with the things that make you so scared so easily or cry so easily and stuff. You know me, I'm a carpenter.
Don't get me wrong. He has a lot of friends in his jazz band who I don't think would yelp like that.
Sure, probably the leader of the band and then the... The drummer, you couldn't have to get that from the drummer.
Yeah, well, second lead guitar is kind of the linchpin, you know? So.
Is jazz? This is...
Yes, it is good. Jazz is good and it's interesting. A lot of people ask me this, but yes.
That's a jazzy response.
Well.
Yeah, you really bebopped into that one.
Thank you, guys. I
was on beat to hear Dan's question. You just came right in.
Well, sometimes it's the notes you play out of order, you know? You got to jump in.
I'm so happy that you all were able to come out for the double date. And, you know, it's nice to just be eating with people again together. Mm. It felt like it's been so long.
I know. It's been like Ryan's a little scared of, he's only been eating like the same five things for the pandemic. Yep. That's why I think the calamari kind of took him a little bit by surprise.
Yes.
Maybe it was a little scary to see something that had arms and legs.
Yeah, okay, okay. I was a little spooked, but, you know, now we're talking about it. It's fun, you know.
I do want to clarify the calamari don't have arms or legs.
But no, I get what my sweetie's saying. It looks like that because it's okay, all stringy. Yeah. It's all weird. Pretty scary.
I got it. Okay, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? They do, too, have arms and legs.
Calamari? No, it's squid, so it's tentacles.
Honey, you don't need to. This isn't a hill you need to die on, okay? This is
no, I mean, I'm so sick of people just getting away with being incorrect.
Okay, well, I'm a little scared.
Stick up for me.
I'm a little scared. Okay, I'm making a joke.
Well, Ryan.
You look like an idiot.
Hey, I'll fucking kill you, man.
What?
I'll fucking kill you. Hey. I'm choking your ass, bitch.
Hey, stop it.
Oh, fuck,
oh my
man.
God,
fuck.
Ryan!
What the hell, Ryan?
It's not funny.
Oh my God, it was a little funny.
You think you're okay? Forget about the yelping. You are not funny. Okay, not everyone in the group has to be funny. Some people are good at playing jazz and maps.
I just am so tired of being loved for that. I want to be loved for something else. And you told me to stick up for you, so I tried to do it in a funny way. I choked him like Homer. I turned him into Bart Simpson. That's funny.
That's not funny. He's not a cartoon.
All right, okay? All right. I'm
None
sorry.
Of us. We're all real human beings.
You're right. Okay? I'm insecure. I'm just insecure. You know, us artists, musicians, we're insecure and...
And I'm not saying you're not tough. You should see Ryan cut through ice.
Yeah.
He goes ice fishing.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
He can cut through ice to make a hole to fish in the ice in no time. It takes the other fishermen at least twice as long, almost twice as long.
You. I mean, that's something to hang your hat on. Cut a hole. Yeah, that's incredible. I don't think I could even... I don't even know where to start with cutting
exactly.
a hole into the ice. What's the tool
the
even?
Part.
Where's the tool? What is even the tool? How deep is
you
the ice?
Tell him, Ryan.
I'll tell you what. You start on the ground.
What?
You start.
We really are more into subtle humor. We like.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So you don't need a joke. So you just take a drill and you drill a small hole.
Okay.
And then after you have the hole, you take a saw and you make the hole larger. And then, you know,
tell them how you go all the way around.
You go all the way around with the saw and then, you know, make sure you have your lunch because it can take a while. And sorry for that joke. And then, once it's ready, you just drop your lure and you hope
on
to
the
catch
car it. Ride home. What the hell? And I totally set you up to do a great story and you made it twice as long. Because you kept trying to force in jokes.
You know, it doesn't seem like there's much I can do to police you anymore.
I think you know so much about ice fishing, not about catching as much as making the holes. But
yeah,
those are really interesting stories you tell.
I'm sorry. I'm off lately. You know, I don't know. Maybe I need to take a comedy class or something.
It's not comedy, though. Most people don't know how to make a hole in the ice. They don't even know where to start the hole.
Right. I guess I think my things are so lame that people don't want to hear about them. Okay. I always got to church them up with jokes or make them fancy or...
The first time you got me really horny and wet was the first time you were telling me how you could make that hole in the ice.
Really? That made you horny and wet?
Because I didn't know.
Oh, my God.
And when you told me, I was like, there was just something about your knowledge and confidence about it and how you weren't afraid that you might break through the ice and drown.
Wow. Well, baby, let's...
But you weren't trying to be funny.
Right,
you're just
right.
Telling me how to cut a nice hole
right.
in ice.
So when I tell you that you go to Alaska, you find your fishing house out on the water. Of course, it's frozen under. There's no hole. You bring in your little lunchbox. You drill a hole in the ice.
Mm.
Yeah, this is working for you, huh? My goal is to catch five or six fish and go home.
Pull over.
Oh, my God. I'm unzipping.
No, I'll give you a head while you drive.
Okay, I'll keep going. Okay, so I'm hoping that we... Oh my God, it's making music.
We cut to the funeral of his wife, and that couple's there, and they know that she died the last night that they saw her.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, Ryan.
Yeah.
Thanks.
This is a tough time, you know?
Thank you. It is really tough. Thanks for being with us on her last night.
Yeah.
I don't want to be uncouth. But you'd think if they did open casket, they would have taken the penis out of her mouth.
Let's talk some more about that.
Ah, big grande. That's why they call him Big Grande. That'd be funny if he ended scenes with someone stepping out going, Big Grande!
Yeah, not quite a hype man, but an announcer of some sort.
Come on, you all love that scene. Did you all love that scene?
Oh, God, that would be my nightmare.
What'd you think about that new group, Large Venti, that's going around right now?
You know, it's very easy to be jealous or angry at people copying you. But eventually you just get flattered. Yeah, you know, it just means
imitation. But didn't you guys kind of feel like the young guys in town, like we're at, you know, Big Grande, and then all of a sudden you look behind, you're like, what the?
They're, you know, Italian.
Large Venti.
I actually do. You know who I do feel that with? Not that they like ripped us off, but just pure jealousy, is those Please Don't Destroy guys on SNL, who it's like, oh, that's basically what our sense of humor was at their age. But we weren't on SNL. And it's like, wow, what a great meteoric rise they're having so quickly that maybe I shouldn't have gone deep into podcasting.
Yeah, it is always very frustrating when you see people working 40 times harder than you and finding success, actually making anything, like making tons of videos, and they you're just like, these fuckers. Like, well,
we cut to a Lakers game. Right at halftime, as everyone's walking off. Hey, LeBron.
Yeah, what's
LeBron.
Up? What's up?
Hey.
Hey, man.
Good game. Good first half.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, my name's Matt. We're doing. I gotta get back there. We're doing.
No. Real quick. I'm this big podcaster anyway. I used to play basketball back in the day. Like fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. And I had it, man, just like you, man. But I steered towards podcasting, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I mean, just looking.
Come on, LeBron, let's go.
Well, hang on. You know, one thing you could always do.
You don't
do.
Need Westbrook, man.
What'd you call me?
I just used your last name.
All right, he said the real last name. He didn't say Westbrook.
That's what I thought I heard. One. All right. Put some respect on it.
He said the real one. Don't worry.
Wow. Trigger. What?
Sorry, I thought I heard my name.
Wow, he's... Hair trigger on this guy. He's crazy.
It's what makes
me on the team.
Well, you know, being emotional... Hey, all right, fine. You wanna get up a couple shots here? I mean, I don't really listen during the halftime conversation. I just kind of yell at the guys and leave. So why don't we? Let's see if you can get up a couple shots during the shoot around. Just watch out for the guy spinning his chihuahua over and over again in the middle of the court for the halftime show.
Get it, Chuchi. Okay.
Get it.
Listen, get it, to be Chuchi. Fair, I might not make. Hey, watch it, buddy, with the dog.
I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of my halftime show, okay?
All right, do you need the whole court?
Well, I need at least the middle third. Okay, stay. If you could stay down by the baskets, okay.
It'd be more impressive if you just go down to the top of the key the other end. Okay. See, LeBron, that's the kind of game IQ I have. I'm more of a game IQ guy, not as much of a physical and a skill set guy, because I steered steered towards podcasting. You know what I mean?
Totally. Well, let me give you an idea of my routine, just so you know. I have to eat super clean all the time, mm-hmm. about 10,000 calories a day that I have to map out. I get up at 5 a.m. And I do a 2-hour workout, and then I get into the plunge, the cold plunge.
Yeah. At that time, I'm researching for all my podcast ideas. What are we going to talk about? What's hot in the news?
Yeah. So you just open the news.
Yeah, and close it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so while you're doing that, I'm doing a whole preparation routine. I also had to overcome a lot even to get to that point, you know. I'm from a single-parent household. Oh, you as well?
Me as well, what?
You're from a single-parent household, or you had to overcome a lot?
No, you hadn't completed that sentence. I didn't say me too to that.
Right, so maybe you should wait till people finish their sentences. I don't know how you do it on the podcast, but, you know, if you're going to...
I say go ahead.
You know, I listen to some... That's an interruption, actually, saying go
ahead. Howard Stern does it. He says, go ahead. That really means hurry up. Go ahead.
Something. What's your podcast about?
Go ahead.
I could be on...
Hey, LeBron, what happened at halftime, man? You're all out of sorts, man. You're bricking like crazy.
Yeah, I didn't do my routine at all. This guy got in my fucking head.
LeBrick!
Oh, thank God they're not talking about me, man.
I'm good at this, right? It's not just because I'm like... you know, tall and strong. I'm good at basketball, right? Like, not
you're good at basketball. You're made for it.
And I was good in Space Jam.
You were great in Space Jam. The only thing I wasn't a big fan of is the shop. I mean, I think you don't really host a show that well. I think you're not great with like give and take.
Go on.
Okay. Well, I was finished.
Okay. So. Go on. Yeah.
No,
on.
You go now. That's
all. And scene. But that's the truth. Some of these guys are making way too much content. I'm sorry. and like mid-career, Richard Jefferson should be making content. That dude is funny.
Yeah.
LeBron James is not funny. I'm sorry. And he's still playing basketball. It's like, dude.
What's
the difference between the two? Richard Jefferson took UCB classes. So I don't know.
Oh, that is true.
I don't know if that's part of it or...
UCBtheater.com, folks.
On ESPN.
In person right now. It made Richard Jefferson funny.
There is something kind of tragic about LeBron, how he's like, of course, the greatest basketball player ever, but he's also just kind of a dork.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like he's dedicated his life to being so professional, but he also tries to be like a hip hop historian and all this other shit. And everything else he does besides basketball to me is so dorky.
Yeah.
Like,
well, just Michael Jordan doesn't do anything. It's right. Like he's, but do you think he knows he's boring? Like, he's so not funny. I've never heard him ever be funny for a half second.
I think that those clips of him calling his whole team hoes in the last
dances. Yeah. Or telling his son in his Hall of Fame speech that he would never be as good as him. That was funny.
He genuinely doesn't care how anybody feels about him. So, yeah, he's not getting laughs.
I like you were saying about his personality. I mean, he's been media. I was listening to Kendrick Perkins do an interview, and he was coming up at the same time. Who is funny, and he was like, yeah, we would do these, you know, AAU or whatever, All-American games, and Kendrick Perkins was like, all right, I'm going to go to McDonald's, and LeBron was like, okay, I'm going to media training, like at 16 yeah. years old. He was being, like, taught how to act an acceptable way to be a superstar. So I think it's been, like, baked into his brain from such an early age that
a robot now.
How to game the system.
Yeah, he's just like a fame robot where he just is doing exactly what is supposed to be done in every moment. Also, one
okay,
funny
rookies. Rookies. All right, enough chit-chat. Have a seat. Oh, some of you are sitting down. That's a joke I use every orientation. See, you guys are taller than I am, even when you're sitting down. That's called an icebreaker.
Yeah, good joke.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, thanks, guys. Big fan. Saw most of you at the NBA draft. Huge moment for you, but I think now is an even bigger moment. NBA orientation. My name is Randy, and I give you all the tips that you're going to need in interviews and doing your post on the social media. So we're going to do some practice interviews. I know your coach has told you have to do this. In fact, it's in your contracts. You have to do interviews after games. So you can't just say no thank you. Not everybody's Kyrie Irving. I said that the last 5 years. Not everybody can be Kyrie Irving.
Did he, like, hurt your feelings or something?
Kyrie Irving, he doesn't do interviews if he doesn't want to. All right, we cut to the interview. It's after the game. It's been a big game. And let's say your team won, and all three of you guys are up there. Y'all played really well, okay? Okay, remind me of your names, rookies.
Sean, Big Three Henderson.
All right.
We know where this guy's going after the NBA.
That's right. He's already got his eyes set on the retirement league.
My name is...
The crew league, the street league, and one.
I was raised on street ball, and that's where I want to make some money in the NBA, but at the end of the day, I want to be playing with Joe Johnson, my hero, and stuff like that.
The Iceman coming. All right, Big Three. Right now you're a rookie, so you're Big Two in here.
That's
all right. What are your other two fellas' names?
My name is Duncan Dale Johnson.
You guys have some old school classic names. I love it. You guys have some names like back when it was an actual peach basket.
My name.
What about you, young man?
My name is Roger Doorstop Dorson.
Doorstop?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for defense.
That's defense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this guy's always wide open like a door.
Well, hey, come on.
Oh, you're good at spacing and finding the open area?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, guys, it's after the game. You won. Okay. Big three.
Hey, you're looking beautiful today.
All right, guys. Right away, I'm going to say you can't do that. No.
I thought in the orientation you said start with a compliment. You know, start with something positive.
Look, I said an icebreaker. You aren't Broadway Joe, okay? In a mink jacket up there.
Okay, my bad.
Winking at the gals in press row. Those days are over, okay?
All right. I'm old school.
Okay.
Makes sense.
We're going to move on. The Duncan Dale. Fabulous dunk out there. How'd you feel as a rookie getting your first dunk on the NBA courts?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I felt amazing. I actually felt so good that I made a reservation for dinner after this. Would you like to come with me?
All right, Duncan Dale. I enjoyed the first part of it. It was perfect, especially saying that's a great question.
Oh, good.
All you rookies, pay attention to that. Every question is a great question.
Okay.
Right? That's so criticizing your coach.
Question. It's really important to make the interviewers feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But not invite him out to dinner.
Mm. Okay.
It's a little forward.
Right. Well, it's Michael Jordan's Steakhouse.
I don't mean strong forward. Carl Malone.
Strongest man.
The GOAT. There. Absolutely.
Doorstop.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You were really stopping him in the paint tonight. Nobody was getting by you. Mm-hmm. And you're always open on offense. How did that feel in your first rookie game?
Honestly, very observant of you to see what was going on out there.
It's my job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's incredible. I just got to say, you know, it's nice for the fans to see me and sort of take me in, you know, and I was just wondering, I didn't see a ring on your finger. So if,
give him the ring.
If you would have,
all right, that's just a good example. What? I'm gonna stop you here, doorstop. I'm gonna stop the doorstop. You see, it's all about tone.
Uh-huh.
Like, let's rewind that whole thing. Your first thing, what'd you said? You remember what you said first?
It was very observant that you were, and I was happy that the fans were seeing me.
It sounded sarcastic.
Oh,
Duncan Dale, he would have said, that was very observant of you, right, with a pause of yours, like, it's very observant of you. I'm like, this guy doesn't think I'm observant.
Memorial Day?
That's tough. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't hear myself talk. I don't hear my tone. It's been a thing for my whole life. Like, you wouldn't get it.
And Duncan Dale, I think he thought the ring was, like, you were going to ask to marry me.
Yeah.
And I took it as, you think all journalists should have won a championship in order to give you questions.
It was open-ended, you know. It was open for interpretation. I mean, you know.
I went to the playoffs 8 times.
As a journalist?
Yeah. All right, you guys being smart asses, I'm going to give you the hard ones. Questions to get after a loss. Mm-hmm. Big three, tough loss out there in your first playoffs. You feel you don't have enough experience out there?
Incredible question, irregular Alex Trebek. I think experience is important for a team.
Wait. Doesn't Alex Trebek never ask questions?
Yeah, he gives the answer. That would have been if I said, I played horrible out there.
Who is? What is me?
That's not how it goes. I'm going to move on to Duncan Dale. You missed one of your dunks right on the rim. It's the dunk that lost the game. We were behind by 1. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, that's very observant. Thank you so much. But it was a real bummer for me. It was a real bummer, and I'm definitely going to try to do better next game. I'm going to go ahead and take all the guys out to dinner, and you are welcome to join if you'd like. You know, I really want to do right by this, and I am single and looking.
Oh, if you just cut yourself and taking the guys out to dinner, that'd be nice.
Right.
End every question with taking the whole team out to dinner, the TV crew. That'd be a great move.
I'm a little confused, if I could chime in. Isn't the whole point of playing basketball to date a journalist? That's why I got into it.
Were you Scottie Pippen the third?
I wish.
Yeah, when do we get to meet Malika?
He got drafted this year.
I'd have that wonderful downstairs genetics, according to Madonna, at least.
Doorstop.
Yeah.
You weren't stopping anybody out there. The only thing you were stopping was your own offense when you were never open. How do you feel about losing your first playoff game?
Oh, you saw that, huh? Interesting. Wow, guess you had your eyes open this time. It sucked. It really sucks to be bad, honestly. I feel like I've been drafted as a joke a lot of times in my life. In sports, I got drafted on teams to get made fun of. And then it's kind of feels like that's carried over to the NBA. I don't know if there's like some...
You think this NBA team has drafted you to just bully you?
It would seem so. Life.
You're a first round draft pick.
Right. But you saw the
lottery.
You saw the look on the commissioner's face when he called my name. It was pretty obvious. Also, I didn't love, you know, the hashtag that they tweeted out when I got drafted.
Dorkstop.
Yeah.
what is bothering you.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Do you find, of the streamers, certain ones easier to navigate than others to the point where you scream, why?
Are they like Hulu, Netflix, you mean? That type of thing?
Those streams. Rank from easiest to hardest that you've experienced.
I was just, my girlfriend just brought this up last night. We almost don't open.
Yeah. Were you in bed?
Let's just say we had a little pillow talk after a little sex.
Go ahead.
Babe, tell me about the streamers. And she almost doesn't open Netflix anymore because it auto plays so fast. And it's really obnoxious. You have to like mute your TV, but it makes it undesirable to use.
I find HBO Max actually plays it. Like Netflix will play like the trailer.
Yeah.
But HBO Max launches me into a show that I don't necessarily want to watch right away.
Right. Yeah, I want to click on the show and go to like a landing screen where it's like I could watch the trailer, I could see who's in it, and then I want to click play.
I think it's
I don't just want to select it and it starts.
That like streamers and just digital media companies in general are like, let me just start you doing the thing and then you'll already be doing it and then you'll watch the whole thing. I think that's the intention. They're like, we just start the episode, then this person is just going to continue to watch this 45-minute show that they don't give a shit about. But it's actually just annoying.
I was
wondering
that with the self-starting things, like they're cheating. Whereas Amazon, I can't find the thing that I was just watching an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. Amazon is the worst one. Amazon feels like it's like from the 90s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where the fuck did it go? And it's like, then I have to get to my list. And I get to my list. And is it a TV or a movie? It's like, oh my fucking God, I have to push 12 things to get to the thing I was just watching.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
It feels like it's like the easiest thing in the world to like make the interface be like, oh, this is the last thing you watch. It's the first thing that's on top. It's like,
right.
Even on Netflix, sometimes it feels like I was just watching a show and I go in and it's like, continue watching. But the thing that I was just watching isn't in there. It's like shit I watched like 3 months ago. And it's like also movies. Like anytime there's like a continue watching on a movie, I'm like, I already did that. What? Right. Like, do you want me to watch?
Like,
the
you
credits?
Want me to go back
the credits? Exactly.
like, what's the purpose?
We cut to the Netflix or streamer people. It's like this little kind of think tank at a convention. It's one of those. So guys, we're all here from different streamers. We're just here to brainstorm. What's the future? I'm on Amazon with the interface, and we are
I'm sorry.
Oh, was that a...
Sorry,
is Hulu. Is that like a oof? Hulu, I just got a three-point shot?
Yeah, Hulu, the best one. Sorry that you're on Amazon, man. That stinks.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say something self-deprecating. I feel like I need to be proud. Like, well, on Amazon, when you go to ours, there's like 100 things right there. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe there's so many options.
That's true. Sorry for being rude. I just got a little chip on my shoulder for being the best streamer.
I don't know about that.
Hulu, everything's green. We have all the TV stuff right away. It's HBO-like and also TV-like. I mean, it's awesome.
I read an article about that, your guys' slogan, we're going green, we're proud to be green. Like, that has nothing to do with the environment. It's just literally
it's just the color of
your website.
The color palette, yeah. But a lot of people think we mean environment. We're horrible.
You have a commercial with people walking around Alaska, like picking up litter and nodding at the camera going, Hulu is green.
Right. Well, we actually had to kill a bunch of polar bears because they were right where we were trying to film.
Oh, my.
But we got the shot, you know.
We're here to share ideas.
Right.
Like, do people want to see the thing that they were just watching? Let's put that up for debate.
Hi, I'm Chris, Disney Plus here. In my experience, Disney property in particular is infinitely rewatchable. You know, our animated films and animated series are things that kids will watch 30, 40, 50, 60 times a week. They'll, you know, on repeat. Classically, children watching Moana 35 times a month. You know, it's, we have these statistics to prove it. So Disney Plus's approach going forward is actually to create a list. Once you've watched something, you are forced to watch it again when you open Disney Plus before you can watch something new. So it's sort of just ingraining the rewatch process into the UI. And I think
it's, I love that. My kids love Disney Plus, and especially rewatching the final credits, like even the very final ones, we're into the, you know, like the Japanese animation crew. Mm. And we like to look up names and stuff and see what else they might have animated. That's always a lot of fun for the family. We freeze a credit.
I love looking up some of the Italian voiceover guys and be like, oh, he does Homer also.
Our family loves it.
Yeah, you got to give those guys love. You know, they deserve as much attention as you know, your George Clooney's and your Dwayne the Rock Johnson's.
And sometimes criticism. Sometimes we'll look up a name and go, I bet that's the fella who screwed up that frame.
Now, that's interesting.
Like 20 minutes into the...
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because Disney Plus is auditioning a feature making everyone's name in the credits clickable for an immediate contact. So you can send an email or a text message, a letter.
You get like a cameo, like get a message from them.
You can email them whatever the hell you want. It's pretty, it's so Whoa. Far. Yeah, so far Whoa. The pilot.
Oh, Disney, you said hell.
Hey, we're a little edgy these days. We have once we got the Marvel stuff onto the service, we had to like be okay with a few curse words here and there. But
yeah, Fat Thor.
Yes, Fat Thor.
Yeah, you don't look like Fat Thor. I was just saying.
No, it's okay. Well, I understand.
You don't look anything like Fat Thor.
Right? Yeah, your hair is shorter, and
you know, the more you guys say it, the more beard, I understand.
You don't have a beard in your hand.
Listen, it's been a tough. Hammer. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year, and I'm trying to get back to where I was pre pandemic. So we'll get there. Right. We'll get there. Fine
for you,
right?
Well, it's interesting to hear all your interest in credits, because at Netflix we don't give a shit. But before the episode's over, we cut out. You can't even see anybody that worked on the show. You have to click,
we make
like
that
eight
a game.
Times.
Like, can you see any credit? Can anyone in the family read a credit before it moves on to the next episode?
And we pay. Yeah, you know, I love that game. We might enter that into the system where we will even pay shows more the earlier people turn it off before the credits start. So you can earn a little extra money. That way, no time is wasted on people learning about the creators or the people that worked on a show.
Netflix, can I ask you a question? Is it part? Is it part of your guys' business plan to get meaner and meaner? It seems like you guys are getting meaner as a company.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
more
a very
like nut fucks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay. Wow, it's okay.
Derailed it.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Wow. No.
Continue watching.
We at Netflix. We at Netflix believe that punching up is really important. So that's kind of what you're doing over at Amazon.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And so go ahead and make fun of us. We know we're the top dogs. We are having some financial issues after we paid Dave Chappelle $80 billion and then fired our whole animation unit. But we're figuring that out right now. Mm-hmm. But I will say... my questions for you all is, how do you organize where to advertise certain types of shows? You know, I know Hulu, you love to put 45 horror movies that no one's ever going to watch at the top of the selection.
It's got
to
be confusing. It's got to be confusing. And you got to have shows on there that nobody's ever heard of, even though they're brand new and publicized. but the most important thing is really lying to the customers. We're going green, we're recycling old shows, and we are donating. We're donating to Goodwill.
Oh, that's good. To the company Goodwill, like the
Don't ask. I just sort of Goodwill in general. Just, you know, it's advertising is a lie, you know? Mm. And so you just got to get the butts in the seats or the fingers on the clicks, as we say over at Hulu.
Right.
You do. Exactly. And speaking of that, we all have some sort of my list. Is there any way we can like just sneak things into my list that aren't on my list? Or
right.
take it off the list and then we put two of them on. You know what I mean? Like the doubles it and they try to take the two off and then there's three of that movie or four.
It's like one of those old malwares where a pop-up comes up and you click the X and 10 of them open.
I miss that.
And they all smile and laugh.
I so miss that.
I miss that. Because you feel like you're in trouble when it happens. Your parents are going to get home and you're going to get caught for I don't know what, but...
Yeah, continue watching.
Now, Amazon, we learned from you at Hulu in that everything costs a little bit of money, mm-hmm. and you have all the titles, but you frustrate everybody by saying you have it and then saying, oh, you got to pay $16.99 for a standard definition rental.
Like to sneak it in there too, like get you in a rhythm of, hey, it's free.
Yes.
Boing.
Yes.
$4.99.
Yeah, I paid $35 to watch Encino Man with my wife last night because we wanted to watch it on a lark and couldn't find it.
Did you watch the whole thing with her?
Encino Man?
In bed?
Well, yeah, let's just say Pauly Shore gets her going. So we never made it to the end.
Wheeze the juice afterwards, if you know what I mean.
Oh, we wheeze the juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my list.
I'm wondering, you know, how we're going to compete with these awesome sites like Tubi that you're kind of getting everything for free. I don't know how they're getting access to content. Now Paramount Plus is putting a lot into Crackle. Their budgets. Crackle. And this is all.
Paramount Plus has everything. They have Star Trek. They have Picard. They have Voyager.
Star Trek Lower Decks.
Nine, Lower Decks. They have everything.
It is the place to be as far as, you know, different eras of nerd content. And they've spent the money on it.
Star Trek.
But, I'm wondering, how do we compete with this? Because we at Netflix have decided that every movie should look the same and be totally come out like a wet fart.
That's you guys have focus grouped that, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I like how all your sci-fi movies only star two people.
And one of them is always, what's his name, the guy from Parks and Rec that got buff.
Yeah, we know.
Aziz? Yeah, it is.
Dude, I've been wanting to talk about this. Aziz got so buff.
Oh, my God. He is so buff.
Kind of makes me think.
Guys, I'm going to shut the door so no one else walks in and hears this. We're supposed to be talking about ways to improve our streaming platform, but check out these. I printed out some...
Oh my God, are these low-res Aziz buff?
Yes, I have folded up in my purse.
These are awesome. I gotta download these.
Here, just take a picture of it.
Okay, yeah.
We got to that guy later in the bathroom. Hey.
Hello, hey.
There's only one stall. How long you been in there, buddy?
Well, I'm about halfway done.
Halfway? Come on, my man.
All right. I'll let you out, but then I got to get back in. How's that? Are you doing a one or a two?
I got a one and a two.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Buffer's easy.
Who is whisper singing in here? What the hell?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about Take It Easy, but thinking about how buff Aziz is. And I needed to tell you.
I love it. I love it now that I understand
how
it.
How buff Aziz is. That's how what his lyrics are. How buff Aziz is.
What is bothering you?
Okay. I just want to talk about one more thing. I'm kind of upset about. First off, we have this old zoo show coming up. The old zoo in Griffith Park. I was making some little videos to promote it on my Instagram at Matt Besser. It made me think. Yeah, Brett, come on on. Yeah, look up my Instagram, Brett, if you don't mind.
Everyone.
And I sent, if you know Dan at all, which obviously Big Grande does, and listeners of the show, you know that his thing is, he's not really on social media. He's not going to argue with you on Twitter. He's not that kind of guy. He's not showing you his vacation on Facebook. And I'm like, well, what do you do? And he's like, I only like to look at cute videos of animals. You know that about him, Brett, right?
Yeah, I did know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ryan and John know this. You send him videos, right?
Yeah, we'll send a cute vid every now and again.
Right. So this morning, being a good guy, I send him a video of a deer, full-grown deer, taking a piss.
That's cute.
That's really cute.
And funny. Look at Brett laughing. He hasn't even seen it yet. Can you show these guys?
Yeah, let me bring it up.
I posted it right before the show, basically.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Okay,
here we go. Check it out. Okay, you can freeze it, but freeze it, yeah. So I send him that, and I think not only is it awesome and funny, but impressive. Like how many shots of deer pissing do you think? I think that's hard to get. In my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right place, right time.
Yeah.
And they seem pretty shy. I feel like they wouldn't just do that in front of anybody.
I'm very close. Go to my Instagram, folks. You can see it full, really up close. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think I've ever seen a deer piss.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Brett.
I think I've maybe even seen him release some pebbles. Yeah. You know what I mean? Poop. Like a little. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a deer poop, but I've never seen a deer pee.
I've never seen a piss.
I've seen my wife pee a lot.
Okay.
That's neither good. That's the one to brag.
That is a good brag. It is.
Okay, well, this is how Dan responded.
Okay.
You guys ready? This is word for word quote. We're going back to that video, by the way, Brett.
Okay.
At that very point. He goes, okay, this isn't exactly cute. What the fuck? In transmission? What the fuck?
There's another text after that.
There is another text which makes it worse in my mind.
Oh, no.
The next text is, but if you filmed it, that's cool.
Oh,
ooh. I find that patronizing. I do respect that he said that I filmed it because it was a crew. It wasn't just on my phone. We filmed it with a small budget. But that's what you say to like a kid. Like, but you know, that was your magic trick. Good try.
Good try. Yeah, it feels like good try.
Yeah, exactly. This is a full-on close-up shot. Now, then without responding, because I wasn't going to be bitter right before the show and get in a fight with him. I was going to say that till the end of the show. Brett, continue video. I sent him another video. Okay, can you back up? Yeah, there you go. Keep playing. So watch the second video. Okay. Did you guys see what was happening there?
A squirrel and a crow on a tree?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell. The action was not.
Did you tell what the crow was doing, no. Brett?
It had something in his mouth, like a little.
Yeah.
It looked like he had a cracker.
Looked like a little full on piece toast. Of toast, guys. Yeah.
Not just a cracker. Almost as toast. Big as him.
Toast. It was toasted.
Listen to Dan getting critical. Oh, you said, oh, it's just bread. A full slice of bread. It's not toasted.
There's nothing you can do to make this video salvageable in Dan's eyes.
But I want to point something out. Just play it again. Okay. This time, make sure you see that it's a full on toast. Okay. Should have put that in slow mo too. Okay, here it comes. Toast.
It does actually look squirrel like it jumps. Might be toasted.
It that is bigger hard. Than I thought it was. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be stale.
Now this is what that is so mean. This is what Dan replied. Wow. Yes, that crow loves carbs just like me, laugh out loud.
Great joke.
Phoning it in.
Yeah. Really? No.
So he
made it about
himself being funny. And also the real drama of that whole moment is the crow is stealing food from the squirrel.
It's unclear in the video that that's what's happening.
Yeah. And you think it's hilarious.
So
that this it, fucking
if we can rush him on
more
this.
Raven, go ahead.
I got what? Keep it playing under this.
Go ahead.
We don't. There's people that I have certain people in my life that I don't have enough of a text relationship yet to know their texting voice. Mm. And they don't know my texting voice.
Oh.
So you don't know, you know, people text a little differently than they talk, maybe hear things differently than they talk. You sent this at like 9:30 last night and I saw it at 11. And so my first thought process is it rude to respond this late at night? Is it weird? Should I wait until the morning? So I set my alarm for 8 a.m. You can see the text was sent at 8:09. I spent 9 minutes kind of trying to formulate a response that makes you feel okay. But remember, at 11 o'clock last night, I see a text from Besser that is just a video of a deer pissing. No context. And so I don't know how to respond at 11 last night.
Can you just freeze for 1 second so we can cut to my life? Because I have a life and I'm living too at that moment. I send what I think is like a huge video.
Huge.
Like something that unless this guy is sick, unless he's very sick, I can understand it then. Or with a friend that's sick.
That
I don't
was,
see why that doesn't get an immediate response of, oh, my God, OMG, you got a deer pissing.
I can't believe you got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least that. I don't need it to be a fucking barrel of laughs.
Right.
Well, now we are playing into my deepest fear when anyone that I respect or like sends me a text is that there is a right and a wrong way to respond. In trying not to upset the apple cart, I end up responding without much of a choice. You know what I mean?
Come on. Yours was a negative choice.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly cute. I don't think, you know, because I know you're sending it to me because you think I like, say, or I told you I like sharing cute videos. And in the past, you've sent me some. I think of Sydney feeding a giraffe, maybe, or no, Sydney watching a giraffe being fed. That was a cute video.
No, I've never send you Sydney watching someone else feed. Oh my God, you think I would do that to you? Thank perfectly you, Brad.
It keeps autoplaying.
Play the horn like anytime. I'm not that kind of narcissist parent that I was. Sydney was feeding the giraffe herself, Dan.
Right. Yes. You're right.
Oh, my God. I can't breathe.
2 or 3 years ago, I
think. And, guys, you got to know how funny a tall giraffe and a short little girl and the feeding sure. one to yeah. the other. Oh, my God. Dan, I don't even know if he got it.
Well, so
I understood it.
I understood it was cute. So I said this, okay, it's not exactly cute, but if you filmed it, that's cool.
That's what you said at the premiere of my movie.
Not very cute.
We cut to the after party after premiere. Hey, I'm glad you guys showed up, man. It means a lot to me. Big grind of being here.
Oh, congratulations.
Awesome.
What an achievement.
So much work.
We're flattered to be invited. Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's been 10 years in the making.
Wow.
I'm just really proud of it. It's also about my family and, you know.
That's awesome.
Sorry, I get upset each time I talk about my family.
Understandably, yeah. I mean, it didn't really show up. This emotion we're seeing here, it wasn't exactly on the screen, but you put it together and you did it with your friends and you worked hard on it, and that's so cool.
10 years. I mean, that's a long time.
It's a long time to devote yourself to the same project and not give up.
Such a small project, too. It's like a long time for like a... It's pretty straightforward, and I thought it was really good.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I know a lot of... When I said my film and it was at a real movie theater, a lot of people thought this was going to be a 90-minute movie and got babysitters and stuff. It's a 2-minute short film, but I'm glad everybody made a night of it.
Yeah.
And we got to get out of this room in 15 minutes.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, I only rented it for an hour.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah.
So it's an hour premiere party after 2-minute movie, but yeah, it is about my family.
I do have babysitters for the evening. Should we all go grab a drink or a bite to eat? Or, I mean, let's celebrate.
Okay. I'd rather if you guys don't either.
Okay.
All right. Well, here's what I will say. We appreciate the open bar. I was a little confused. Usually that means that the drinks are free, not just that the bar is open to buy drinks at.
And last call.
I got to wrap it up. Like I said, I only have this place for an hour.
I got to close out. But again, I think it's so nice that you felt cathartic about what you put up on screen there. And that's really what it's all about, you know, is the feeling that you had making it and the process.
Mm. But you think it was good too.
Well, would avant-garde be appropriate?
No.
Okay.
I think it would be the easiest thing for me is tell me
it
what
it wasn't avant-garde at all.
All right.
I would. That.
Yeah. Okay.
If you tell us what you intended, maybe we can tell you if you achieved it. Because I think wondering about the intent. You said it's about your family.
It's about my family. It's that not surprised me. It's nothing French or anything like that.
Well, there's certainly no mise en scène in there. I'll tell you that much right now.
No, our laissez-faire.
You're sure.
That you know, actually, that would be a really good way to describe how it feels like you made this project. If I'm being honest,
whoa, and it's not verite either. No. That's what you're implying.
No, I think what I did like about it is it did feel like
take your time.
It felt like to me you did the thing that you wanted to do in
family.
In taking on the project, you started it.
Family.
Look, Besser, you invite the big Grande boys to a screening. You know what you're going to get. All right. We're going to be direct. We're going to be honest and we're going to be critical.
Well, I know two things. One, I'm not going to get Drew there. And two, you guys are just going to insult something that I've worked so long on.
Okay. You know what?
We had no idea based on the product.
Yeah. Working on something long is not good.
And it seemed like this was just you. Correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like you set up a camera phone during dinner with your family.
An old camera phone.
It shoots in a square
one of the
format.
First.
Yeah, it shoots a square format. You set up a camera phone on your family while you ate dinner. You didn't speak for 2 whole minutes. At the end, you put your hands on your stomach. You say, "Wow, good meal," and then the credits roll. It has your.
Did you watch the whole credits? The team from Iceland?
What did they do? What did those guys... There was 14 people that you credited.
Did you see those plates?
Are they the potters? Did they throw the plates? Did they make the ceramic plates? What did those guys do?
Besser, it's a horrible film. Okay, it's horrible.
It's barely a film.
I'm trying. It's horrible. It's not avant-garde. You're right about that. I was trying to think of a word.
At least it's not avant-garde.
It fucking sucks, dude.
Guys, you guys are funny and I respect your work. Just give me your total fucking dead honest opinion.
I really feel like I'm trying. I really feel like I told you it fucking sucks. Okay? And I don't mean that to be harsh. I mean that as like every point in everyone's life, they have that point where they have to learn the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
2-minute films aren't good.
Well, you know what?
That's your problem.
No, I'll make it even more specific. This specific 2-minute film is not good. I've seen good 2-minute films. You know,
don't butter it up like Ryan. Just tell me. Just say it, man.
I'll say this.
I trust you guys. You guys are the new generation that doesn't bullshit around.
I'll say this. I've never considered killing myself.
Wow.
But in the first 30 seconds of this film, I said to myself, if this is a true hour and 30 minute long movie, I might have to end it all because I couldn't tolerate just staring at a screen. Like there was just nothing going on. It feels like you didn't put any actual work into it. It feels like you did this and then you said, "Oh, it's a movie now." And you did this whole party.
It's not laissez-faire, but okay.
Did you just take, or wait, what do you mean by laissez-faire there? Did you just say, you said my opinion is not fair? Is that what you were taking from that?
No. Laissez-faire is French for saying being lazy at the fair.
Okay.
You should be celebrating instead.
They used to say it to clowns because clowning was so big there. So if you were kind of being lazy.
Almost.
Fair, oh, wow.
Don't be lazy at the fair.
I didn't know that.
Besser, can I ask what is the reaction that you're looking for? Like, what do you think is good about the movie?
What I think is good about the movie is it'll serve as a clip for my directing reel.
Mm.
So I can get some work directing some of these shows on the streaming services. And I think it shows, I looked at it as like a dramedy. Of both drama and comedy.
You are becoming more of an obnoxious director as you talk about it.
Thanks. I hope that shows up on the reel.
Well, how about this?
Be honest, Don. Can I be honest?
You told him?
Hey, this is a true story. My mom has an Israeli accent, and when I was 6 years old, I wanted to change my mom to Bob because the way she said Dan sounded like Don, and all the kids in my class made fun of me and called me Don. So that's really triggering for me. And honestly, that is the most emotion I have felt in the past 30 minutes. is remembering that.
And Zane, humans, let's plug for real. Not large Venti, but Big Grande, your project, which is very funny.
Thank you.
A great idea on how to do improv for the visual medium. You guys got a set, props, costumes, thrown upon you in surprise, then you improvise. So where can people find this?
BigGrandeWebsite.com. There's 4 episodes of Live on Set, so you can, wherever you're in the country, you can watch a full improv show featuring Big Grande. And the first one is free. If you like it, you can buy the other ones, and even that one if you really like it and want to just pay for it.
Wow.
But you described it very well, Besser. I couldn't do it any better, so thank you.
Oh, that's the nicest thing you've said to me the last 90 minutes.
I said if you filmed the deer, that's cool.
That's not
So, Brett, I want to give a hard plug to the Old Zoo Show. If you go to Griffith Park, if you put in the GPS, Old Zoo in the LA area, it's going to take you right up to it. There's 2 parking lots that'll get you very near it. One's near a merry-go-round, and one's near the Shakespeare in the Park stage. But Saturday, July 30th, 6 p.m., Improv for Humans live in one of the cages. We're going to be in the biggest cage. It has like 3 caves and 3 picnic tables. And I think there's going to be a food, kind of a Shakespearean, what's it called? Summer
fair?
It's 3 words, like summer celebration fair or something like that. Yeah. Is going to be there. So we'll be covering that, right, Brett?
Yes. Yes.
We'll be covering all the action journalism of the summer celebration fair that's probably going to be nearby. So they might have food trucks there for you as well. And go to mattbester.com if you have more questions about that, or go to my Instagram to see the great promo video with a deer pissing. That's probably never been caught on camera before. And a raven stealing toast from a squirrel. That's some hot content. I should be on TikTok. Keep being human. Humans in the Los Angeles area, July 30th at the Old Zoo in Griffith Park. Just put that in your GPS and you can go right to a live Improv for Humans. We're going to be in one of the old cages, the one with 3 caves and picnic tables, July 30th, the Old Zoo, Improv for Humans live. Go to mattbesser.com for more info.